from the first chapter of the book of Jonah. Verses 1, 2, and the 8th section of the 3rd verse, you'll find the following words.
Amen.
And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai.
Amen.
Saying, arise and go to Nineveh. That wicked city, and cry out against it, for its wickedness has come up before me.
Amen.
But Jonah, wanting to flee from the presence of God, went down to Joppa and bought a ticket for Tarshish. I thought I'd talk tonight from the subject, you can run, but you cannot hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. According to critical scholarship, the book of Jonah is an autobiography that was written by Jonah about Jonah.
Amen.
The book of Jonah is one of the smallest books in all of the Bible, for it is only comprised of 4 little chapters. There are only 48 verses. There are only 1,328 words. But within this limited framework of spiritual literature, does the author do a very unique job of expressing God's love, God's care, and God's concern for his people. You see, at the time that the book of Jonah was written, the Jews were of the pseudo-misconception that God only loved them, the Jews. They felt that since they were God's repository of truth and chosen people to the world, that this made them superior, above and beyond all other peoples of the world. So then the book of Jonah was written and included into the canonization of the scriptures for the express purpose of showing that God had a love and a care and a concern for peoples, whether they were Jew or Gentile. That all men, irregardless of race, creed, or color, have a right to the tree of life. This narrative begins by saying, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It had been made the capital under the regime and kingship of King Sennacherib. Nineveh was located on the banks of the Tigris River, approximately 230 miles north of the grand city of Baghdad. The walls of Nineveh, according to archaeologists, were approximately 61 miles in circumference, or 61 miles round. The walls of Nineveh stood 380 feet tall, 87 feet across. It is alleged by some schools of thought that 2 chariots could ride abreast the walls of Nineveh without touching each other. Nineveh was known for its palatial buildings, for its gold, its silver, and many, many riches. The prophet Nahum says that the city of Nineveh was a bloody city that was full of frauds, lies, robbery, since you were snitched, full of witchcraft, and whoredoms of idolatry.
That's all right.
Their open and corrupt practice of homosexuality came up as a kind of stench in the nostrils of God. All Nineveh was some kind of town. If you wanted to get away with somebody else's wife, or get lost with someone else's husband, you could have all the lost weekend you wanted right there in Nineveh. If you wanted to play the slot machine, or roll the crap on the dice table, shooting for 7 or 11, you could do that in minutes. If you had to have a blessing plan, or get you a prayer floor, if you had to have something that would help you get someone else's husband or get someone else's wife through the practice of black magic and witchcraft, all of the hoo and voodoo dust you wanted was right there in minutes. If you had to buy a number, or you could find the number prophet in Nineveh. Nineveh had approximately 600,000 inhabitants. It was one of the most cruel and martial cities of antiquity. Nineveh were the people who pillaged, burned, enslaved, and killed, and captured the northern kingdom of Israel. They scorched their enemies alive. They decorated and adorned their walls with the heads and skin of their captured foes. And some fools have alleged that these people who were pillaged and burned and killed were ancestors or relatives of the prophet Jonah. That they had taken Jonah's relatives and drove them through the streets of Nineveh until all life had been sapped out of their bodies. And now the word of the Lord was coming unto Jonah, telling him to arise and go down to sin-laden Nineveh. And Jonah didn't want to go. God told him to go there and preach to them. Teach them. Bring them into a saving relationship with God. But instead, Jonah, because of what they had done to his relatives, wanted to see Nineveh doomed, destroyed, damned. And he knew if he went to Nineveh and preached that if they repented, because God is slow to anger and quick to mercy, they would be let off the hook. So when the word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, go to Nineveh, instead Jonah went in military language, what is called AWOL. He went AWOL. Took a kind of action without leave. Instead, he went down to Joppa. Jonah thought that he could get away from God because the people at this time did not have an awareness of the everywhereness of God, of the universality of God, of the omnipresence of God. They were of the pseudo misconception that the Lord God Jehovah dwelt in certain places and in particular space. They thought that his powers were not potent
Yeah.
Outside the Judean boundary.
Yeah.
They felt that he was not powerful nowhere but in the hills of Judea.
Yeah.
They thought heaven was his seat.
Yeah.
Earth was his footstool.
Yeah.
But Jerusalem was his holy seat.
Yeah.
They thought God was a tribal or localized God.
Yeah.
So when the word of the Lord said, arise and go to Nineveh,
yeah,
Jonah wanted to get away from God, decided that he would go down to Joppa.
Yeah.
Because he knew he could get away from God. He did not know that God is everywhere at the same time.
Yeah.
That God always bumps into himself because he's from everlasting to everlasting. That just like God is too omnipotent to be weak, too omniscient to be dumb, he's likewise too omnipresent to be absent. So when the word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, arise and go down to Nineveh, instead Jonah arose and went due west. He went down to Joppa, which was a seaport town in Spain, and there he purchased a ticket for Tarshish. Notice now that when Jonah began turning against the will of God, when he began bucking against the will of God, from that point on, every step he made was a downward step.
Yeah.
The Bible says he went down to Joppa.
Yeah.
And when he got there, he went down to the harbor of Joppa.
Yeah.
When he got to the harbor, he went down to the ticket office and bought a ticket.
Yeah.
And from there, he went down to the ship and got on board. And then he went down into the hull of the ship. And from there he went down into the sea. And then down into the belly of the fish. And that fish took him down to the bottom of the sea. Just down. You know what? As we stop tonight and look around at our world, oh, you have to admit, everything about our world these days is going down. Oh, yes, it is. Nothing is up anymore but prices. Everything else down. Look at the economy. Down. Look at our government in the eyes of other foreign countries. Down. Look at the dollar on the foreign exchange. The dollar compared with the German franc. The Japanese yen is down. Look at Wall Street, the stock market, the Dow Jones Index, mostly down. Everything, educational system, down. Everything just down, down, down. But we ought to be tired of going down. Everything we do these days, down. We think down, we talk down, we look down, we hear down, we feel down, a whole lot of us are low down. To stop our downward trend and come up to God. Don't you hear him saying, come unto me, God Almighty. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, Jonah went down to Joppa. And don't you see him trying to get away? Sneak out of town? And every now and then one of his members saw him and said, how you do, Reverend?
That's all right.
And he would disguise himself, maybe put shade on his eyes, hat sunk down on his head, and turn his coat collar up. Went on down to the ship and down to the hull of the ship. And when the captain pulled up anchor and the whistle blew, and they set sail for Tarshish. In a sigh of relief, Jonah says, and fell fast asleep. You know, God has his H-B-I agent. Notice I said God has his H-B-I agent, not FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, but God has his H-B-I, Heaven Bureau of Investigation, and one of God's agents is the wind. God called for the four angels to bring each of their winds and stand on the four corners of the world and told them, I want you to blow your wind so that they crisscross. Don't hurt my child. Don't kill my child, but just blow enough to shake him, rattle him, roll him. You say what you want to say, but when you're trying to get away from God, you are on dangerous ground. When you try to get away from God, brothers and sisters, bills get behind. And no matter how many jobs you're working, and no matter how many folk in the house got income, you find yourself making no progress. When God comes after you, sickness gets in your family. And old death starts creeping in your room. When God comes after you, it's more drastic than a flood. More panic than a landslide. It's more devastating than a hurricane. More disturbing than a thunderstorm. It's more eruptive than a volcano. When God comes back, God comes back, it's more serious than a heart attack. It's more fatal than death. When God comes after you, husbands and wives separate. Homes become houses. Churches become buildings. Tension becomes the climate. Joy turns to sorrow. Peace to confusion. Preachers can't preach right. Choirs can't sing right. Sinners can't join right. Saints can't shout right. When God comes after you, you are on dangerous ground. Well, I tell you what we do just for a few moments, if you don't mind. I feel pretty good tonight. Come on, let's get on the ship with old Jonah. Well, don't worry about it. God's going to get us off. But for the sake of understanding, let's get on the ship with Jonah. Now, Jonah is the embodiment of any man or a woman who does not go the way that God has ascribed or prescribed for you to go. Jonah is not just a prophet who lived back in the 8th century. But you got a whole lot of Jonahs right here in the 20th century. And Jonah is not necessarily a man. No. Sometimes Jonah can be a woman. Sometimes Jonah got sad. that's black and silky, like raven feathers. Sometimes Jonah got big, long, curly locks running up and down her back. Sometimes Jonah's eyes shine like black sapphire. They glow like dotted pearl. Sometimes Jonah got teeth that are white like a flock of sheep. Sometimes Jonah's cheeks are like pieces of pomegranate. Sometimes her lips are like shreds of scarlet. Sometimes Jonah's tongue is sweet as a honeycomb. Sometimes Jonah got features like Venus de Milo, a shape like the figure eight. Sometimes she has a body like a sculptor's dream. All I'm trying to tell you is sometimes Jonah is shown up fine. And Jonah in the 20th century is still riding on ship. All Jonah has done is change ship. Gotten off the ship that's going to Tasha. And is now riding a ship called Church Membership. And sometimes Jonah disguises himself so, sometimes like a man, sometimes looks like a woman. I say, you in the church don't know who Jonah is. For all we know, Jonah might be the one who sung the first hymn tonight. Praise the first prayer. That song I heard him singing a few minutes ago about been born again might have been led by Jonah. We might be having Jonah's anniversary. And for all you know, it might be Jonah up here preaching. Another ship old Jonah likes to ride. The ship of matrimony. I've seen the husbands and wives, young couples, dying in the holy bond of matrimony. And when they start out in their marriage, everything is so smooth. They go to singing red sails in the sunset. And then when Jonah gets on board, they changed the song from red sails to stormy weather. Since me and my man can't get together, keeps me crying all the time. Stormy weather. The captain's first impulse was, maybe we can row out of this storm. I see the captain coming topside the deck, shouting to all the crew, all hands on the deck, all hands on the deck, all hands man your post. Sailors jumped up and started running, all of them getting to their positions, and they sit down and got their oars.
Yes, sir.
They began to row. They rowed, they rowed, they rowed and rowed and rowed, but the more they rowed, the more the wind blew. The sailors lost control of the ship. Waves kept lashing over the upper edge, so the pumps were of no use. That little ship was twisted, pummeled, and beaten by the gale-churned sea.
They were in. Tommy Rock! They saw the rowing would do no good. The captain said, well, we got too much cargo. Look what they did, say. Throw all of the extra heavy cargo overboard. And the necessities like food, they threw it overboard. Medicine, threw it overboard. Other valuable necessities, they threw overboard. And what they didn't realize, it wasn't the cargo that was so heavy. They were Jones. You see, cargo doesn't break up nobody's home. But Jonah does. Cargo doesn't cause the streets to be dangerous to walk. But Jonah will. Cargo doesn't kidnap and kill little children. But Jonah does. Cargo doesn't cause me to be on Librium and tranquilizers. Got hustles and can't sell him a nerve, but Jonah does. Cargo doesn't declare war, but Jonah will. They threw him in that valuable necessities. That's the same mistake the church, the old ship of Zion, is making. Children, can't y'all see the valuable cargo? We've thrown it overboard. Don't you see church ain't like it used to be? That fellowship that used to be in the church. That pure fellowship that used to move from heart to heart, breath to breath. What is it? We've thrown it overboard. Though those sacred hymns of the church that used to move the heart and stir the soul is overboard. This old junk we sing it in church now don't move nobody. This what we call contemporary gospel. Nothing but junk. Make me sick every time the choir get up to sing. They got to go to Wheatley. Sometimes I get so confused in church, I don't know whether I'm checking or discoing. Jesus' name, how sweet the sound. Overboard. Myra's bench is overboard. I remember the time no church service went on until you had the senator come down, sit on the Myra's bench. You stay there till your heart come on fire. If the preacher didn't get you, the deacons and mother would bomb a pool around that base and stop singing. Could you have nobody pray? Well, you know, bomb a fire. Overboard. Rose, Ossaby, threw cargo over board. The captain looked and said, now this is an unusual star. Never seen one like this. It must be something divine. Charismatic. Spiritual. Holy. About this time. So what he does, he goes outside the deck and again, all hands on top deck, all hands on top deck. They lay down the ropes and they up and start running, coming to the captain. The captain says, there's something strange about this storm, so stop roaring and start praying. Whoever your God is, call it. If it's Baal, call it. If it's Dagon, call him. If it's Zeus, call him. If it's Apollo, call him. And everybody start praying. Here comes another sailor to the captain, saluting. Aye, captain, sir, but a little while ago, I was touching the lower part of the ship. And captain, sir, I found this look like stowaway passenger in the back, in the dark, in the corner, sleep. Ain't that something? Jonah was asleep. Storm raging. Jonah was asleep. And you know, that's just the way it is in your life and mine. Some folk come to your house and in your life and upset you, put your nerves all on edge. You can't sleep at night and can't eat a bite. And there you are, worried to death, and they go home and go to sleep. Everybody's fine. For a long time, when I used to go down to Don McMillan's house and play, if I did something wrong, Miss McMillan whooped me. And then whenever my mama come home, wasn't no need of me running telling mama Miss McMillan whooped me, because Miss McMillan told my mama she whooped me, and my mama turned around and whooped me all over again. But now these are low-down scoundrels sit up in your house smoking pot, and you scared to say anything. And you speak, they'll turn around and talk you out. And ain't no need to tell them, boy, I'm going to tell your mama you cussed me out. Because when you get him home and tell his mama he cussed you out, his mama going to turn around and cuss you out all over again. But yet the church, what we doing? Preach crime songs. You make it, and some thief come along and take it. And when I was coming up, we had screen doors. You want to go down the street, you just walk on out your screen door, leave the door open. And whenever you come back, everything was intact. But it's been 10 years since I've seen a screen door. You got these big old iron doors with locks on. And then you got to put a lock on the lock. And then got to put a lock on the lock on the lock. And then seal them dirty, you know what, cut through the roof and come on in. Yet the church is free. Everything is anti. Everybody gets something. Anti-nuclear. Anti-this, that, another. Last year, 50,000 homosexuals marched on Washington talking about they wanted their rights. 50,000 sissies and 50,000 cool daddies. One more thing, and I'm going to come on home. Captain went down and found this stowaway package.
Yes, sir. Take your time now.
In the back, in the dark, in the corner.
Yes,
and we're doing the same thing as church. We got on the shades of indifference.
Yes,
the hat of do nothing. We've turned up the coat collar of lethargy.
Yes,
we're taking our own little trip.
Yes,
and got up our do not disturb sign.
Yes.
And all the storms of brewing and God's saints.
That's all right. That's
went down and woke up old Jonah and said, the Bible says, "What meanest thou, old sleeper? Man, what you doing here, sleep? Don't you know the sound is in a raise? We know somebody, everybody on this ship but you."
Amen.
Captain pulled out his pad and pen and started writing. "What's your name?" He said, "My name's Jonah." "What's your nationality?" "I'm a Hebrew." "Who's your God?" "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." "What's your profession?" "I'm a prophet." "Well, what you doing on this ship?" "Mister, I'm on the wrong ship going in the wrong direction." And then look what John said. John said, "If you want this storm to get calm, throw me overboard." Because listen what he said. "Because I am the cause of the trouble." Now right there, I got to lead him along and get on his side, because a minute folk would stand up and say, "I am the cause of the trouble. Why is Richard Milhouse, Trisket Dick Nixon had told the American people when Watergate broke out, I am the cause of the trouble?" And a whole lot of y'all sitting up in here tonight ain't got no husband, ain't got no wife, can't keep no boyfriend, can't find no girlfriend. All you're doing is just dipping and dodging, dipping and dodging. And you know how come you can't keep nobody? Because you too hungry to tell one or the other, "Baby, I am the cause of the trouble." I get ready to leave you now. Jonah said, "I am the cause of the trouble." The captain didn't want to throw him overboard. He had them to pull lots. And you know the story about how the lot fell on Jonah. They kept on roaring and roaring and saw that it was all to no avail. Consequently, they picked him up, threw him overboard. And one of the things I like about him, he didn't blame the captain. The captain is a symbol of the pastor. Because whenever things go wrong on the church ship, the pastor is to blame. When the crowd fall off, it's the captain's fault. When the money doesn't come up to par, it's the captain's fault.
Yeah.
Then we go on, and if we don't put the blame on the captain, we put it on the crew.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out that old choir. Because ain't none of them niggas no good blaming the crew.
Yeah.
But it's really not all time the captain's fault.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good tonight, children.
Yeah.
It's not all time the crew's fault.
Yeah.
If you tell the truth about it, you'll find out it's your fault. You ought to be big enough sometime to say, "I am the blame. And I am the cause of the trouble." And so it was, my brothers and sisters, that they picked up old Jonah and threw him overboard. And when they threw Jonah overboard, Lord, the Bible says that a fish came along and picked him up. Lord, yes, you know, we all kind of say when a man catches a fish, it's not necessarily news. Lord, but whenever a fish catches a man, then, believe me, that's news. All on. And this part of the verse gives us a kind of a rod of criticism.
There are those who go around saying that they don't believe in this part of the verse because they cannot see how it is that no whale can pick up no man. Oh, no, they can't. And they go around and say that according to the science of ecology, then the throat of a whale is not big enough for no man to go down. Oh, Lord. And consequently, they say that the story of Jonah is nothing but a myth. Oh, Lord, yes, but I come by here tonight to tell you that the Bible does not say that it was a whale. You read it when you get home. The Bible says that the Lord prepared a great fish. And anything that the Lord prepared. Yes, no matter what it is, I'm going to tell you, that thing is all right. Oh, Lord, yes, all of the other fish that were down in that sea, all the rest of them were fish that had been hatched. Good God, yes, but here that day, God had one fish that the Lord himself prepared. Oh, yes, he did. If the Lord prepared it, yes, I'm satisfied that everything is all right. Oh, Lord, yes, if the Lord can prepare me to tell the prophet Balaam, you're on the wrong road. Oh, Lord, I'm satisfied that God can prepare fish to go down and pick up Jonah. Oh, yes, he can. If God can turn a rooster into a preacher, and every time he crows, make old Peter repent and cry about all of his sins. If God can do that tonight, I'm satisfied that God can make him a fish to go down and pick up Jonah. Oh, yes, he can. If God can make two ravens, a butcher and a baker, and make one bring his child meat while the other one serve him bread, I'm satisfied tonight that God can prepare fish to go down and pick up Jonah. Oh, yes, he can. That's why I love what the psalmist says. The Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, yes, he does. And when they threw Jonah overboard, yes, my Bible says that fish went down and swallowed Jonah whole. Carried him on down to the bottom of the sea. Oh, yes, he did. And when they threw Jonah overboard, back when that storm became calm. Oh, Lord, I want to tell you this evening, somebody's in here tonight that got a storm in your life. You don't know which way to go. You don't know which way to turn. Yeah, but the Lord told me to tell you this evening, you might need to take Jonah out of your life and throw him overboard. Oh, Lord. Jonah might be some no good man. Yes, you know he really doesn't mean you no good. Every time you think you're doing something, He whips you, beats you, use you, abuse you, misuse you. I'm going to tell you, honey, what you might need to do is throw him overboard. All on. Jonah might be some low-lighted scoundrel woman. Yeah, you don't know. She doesn't mean you no good. Tom is always brewing in your life. Hold on. What you might need to do is go on and throw Jonah overboard. I believe I'll just take my time to preach to you a little while. Yes. So the Bible says that that fish took him down to the bottom of the sea. Held him back for 3 long days. Yes. That's something strange and unusual about the number 3. Yes. 3 stands for that which is whole. 3 stands for that which is complete. 3 stands for that which is substantial. Oh, yes, it does. There are 3 divisions of time. The past, present, and future. Oh, Lord. There are 3 dimensions for determining a solid. The length, the width, and height. Oh, Lord. God got 3 attributes of power. He's omnipotent, he's omniscient, and then he's omnipresent. Oh, Lord. I remember when Isaiah went in the temple. In the year the king of Uzziah died, he said, I saw the Lord. And those seraphims began crying one to another, saying, holy, holy, holy. Oh, Lord, man has 3 enemies, the flesh, the world, and the devil. That are 3 gifts of grace, faith, hope, and love. Oh, Lord, that are 3 patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, when Jesus came to our world, he died 33 years of age. While he was here, that were 3 men that he raised from the dead. On the cross, they wrote King of the Jews in 3 languages, Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. Oh, Lord. Oh, don't you see them when they put him down into the lagoon? He stayed there 3 long days. On the 3rd day, you know what he said. All power is in my hand. Oh, Lord, they tell me that heaven got 48 angels, 24 elders, 12 gates to the city. Hallelujah. 3 gates in the east. 3 gates in the west. 3 gates in the north. And 3 gates in the south. In all that makes 12 gates to the city. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. And all don't you see Jonah? Yes, sir. Wandering around in the slime and stink and stuff of that old fish belly. Look at Jonah. Don't know which way is up. don't know which way is down, with seaweed wrapped around his head. Oh, yes, he did. And Jonah begins thinking about how God told him to go to Nineveh. And he said, I'm going down to Tarshish. And all those words haunted him. Well, friend, be sure your sin will find you out. Oh, yes, it is. And I see Jonah cramp, and I heard him sing. Well, I reckon I'd go down on bending knees and talk to God about it. You know, ain't it wonderful? No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, you can bow down on bending knees. Yes, you can. Jonah got down on his knees, put one arm in one side of the fish, put the other arm in the other side of the fish, and I heard him sing, now, Lord, now, Lord, not after a while, not tomorrow, not next week, but all now. I wonder, have you ever had to have God having right now? Won't he come to you? He's quicker than at once. He's sooner than right now. I heard him say, Lord, I know I did wrong. I know you told me to go down the Nineveh, and I went the other direction. But Lord, please, I wish I had a witness here. Lord, please, come on, still got to try. And I heard God saying, well, maybe I'll go. I heard Jonah saying, Lord, give me one more chance. Give me one more time. I told the Lord a long time ago, oh, one more. If you let me get up off my sick bed one more time. If you get me out of jail one more time. If you get me out of trouble one more time. Oh, one more. I wish I had a witness here. Oh, one more. Lord, give me one more chance. I see old Jonah stand one more time. And God said, well, I'm going to get you out, Jonah. And God touched the old whale and made the fish sick of Jonah. And then touched Jonah and made Jonah sick of the fish. And that old whale began wagging his tail, going from side to side, coming up to top side. Got over to the seashore, puked on Jonah's eyes. Jonah was dying on the ground. God picked him up, dusted him off, turned him around, put his feet on solid ground. I heard God saying, when you go now, Jonah said, yeah, just anywhere. Oh, anywhere. Anywhere, just anywhere, on the streets, on the corner, anywhere, oh, I'm willing, oh, I go, Lord, if I have to go all by myself, yeah, for real, I'm gonna leave you when I tell you, I told the Lord a long time ago, yeah, Lord, use me, Lord. Get my eyes. I'll see what you want me to see. Get what you want me to do. You're my teacher. I'll stand where you want me to stand. You're my knee. I'll bow. Oh, where you want me to bow. Oh, yeah.